Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show. Friday edition sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Steve Jones in the Sunbury Motor Studio here momentarily. But the big news of the day, if you're a Steeler fan, is that Antonio Brown is ruled out for the game against the Broncos. Last time out, he had 16 catches, 189 yards, two touchdowns. In the come-from-behind victory, he will not play against the Broncos. He was ruled out by the team this morning. Also ruled as not going to be playing, D'Angelo Williams. So it will be the third four-string running backs and a talented group of wide receivers, although obviously one of the biggest impact players on the team and maybe one of the biggest in the NFL, Antonio Brown, will be out. Only question lingering is what's Ben Roethlisberger's situation. And if you're a Steeler fan or if you've even watched any Steeler games ever, you probably are thinking the same thing I am right now. If he doesn't start or at least play, you'll be surprised. Typically he plays if he's able to walk.
Jerry Dulac reports he's going to play from the Post-Gazette. Okay.
And that's great, but the thing in your back of your mind is the question, at least for me, is the question
Kevin,
I posted on SteveJonesShow.com.
Kevin, he gives you a puncher's chance.
Sure he does.
All right? And
sure
that's
he does.
What he does. He gives you a puncher's chance in the game.
And that's why I posted the question I did yesterday at SteveJonesShow.com. Would you start a 60% Ben over 100% Landry Jones?
I've started breathing, Ben.
See, right. I agree with you. I am 100% in agreement with you. And so are the overwhelming majority of people that have taken the poll.
I mean, and by the way, Doug Peterson, I think that's a good hire for Philadelphia. You look at what he's done with Alex Smith out in Kansas City. You look at the style of quarterback that Sam Bradford is. You look at the style of running back that DeMarco Murray is. And it really fits how Doug Peterson wants to play football. I think it's a good hire by Philadelphia.
Brandon Gotten had an interesting article earlier today on Bleeding Green Nation, and we'll try and get him on next week to kind of talk a little bit about the Peterson hire.
It's a good hire. It's not awesome, incredible, spectacular, whatever. But it's interesting. Usually when you hire a coach, and you've noticed the patterns over the years, you usually hire the opposite of what you had. I had a player's coach, so now I'm hiring a disciplinarian. I had a disciplinarian, I'm hiring more of a player's coach. I hired an offensive-minded coach. Okay, the next guy's usually a defensive coach. Well, this time, what they did was I hired another offensive coach, but a different style, a more traditional-style offensive coach. And Doug, I mean, we'll have to see how he does, but I think it's a good hire. He's younger.
Well, one of the things that Brandon said in his article, and again, we're going to get him on next week, hopefully Monday, Jeffrey Lurie talked about he wanted emotional intelligence. And you know, Brandon asked the question in the article, is there any indication of how players' coaches liked working with Peterson? And the impression is that none of the players have an issue with him, that they like him. That you don't ever hear of any problems about squabbling or anything like that with players or coaches or anything else on the Chiefs staff.
But that's a shot at Chip Kelly because, look.
Well, I'm sure it is.
What was it about Chip Kelly that was the big turnoff for everybody?
Is that he had no emotional relationship with anybody. Remember what Merrill Reese said on the show a week ago?
Yeah, that really hit me.
He said when something happens like this, you usually walk into the office, right? And a couple secretaries have a tear rolling down their face because, you know, like they're sorry to see somebody go. He says, nobody's doing that in the office. They go in, everybody's like, yeah, everything's fine. It's all good. Move on. Next guy up. Okay.
What does that tell you? Okay. It's something I've talked about 1,000 times with the students in my class. All right? 1,000 times I've talked to them about this. It's more than just the broadcasting part, much more than the broadcasting part. Treat everybody around you with respect. Get to know the ushers. Get to know the janitor. Get to know the custodian. Get to know, right? Because guess what? Everybody, okay? They're all people. Right? The difference is you may have a higher profile job than they do, but they're trying to do exactly the same thing they're doing. And that is pay your bills with the job you're working at. You think you're working hard? Respect the fact you think they're working hard and get to know them a little bit. Okay? Only just because people are people. It sounded like Chip Kelly made no effort to get to know anybody. I mean, Merrill Reese. Hi, Merrill. Hi, Chip. That's your relationship with Merrill Reese? That's a guy you pull aside and just talk to talk. It's a guy you pull aside and cultivate a relationship with a little bit. Kind of pick his brain a little bit about the city, the mindset, the thought, right? This is somebody, football's not an all-encompassing 24/7 thing. This is somebody you try to get to know a little bit. You got to be smart about what you have. You got to be smart about the people around you. And you have to make your organization feel like it's a total and complete organization, where it's just not a one-man show. Oh, and by the way, the rest of you will just follow in lockstep because I'm the leader and that's just the way it goes. Right? Okay? Form some relationships. Talk to people. You would be amazed what loyalty means when it's a two-way street and how people will run through walls for you. Right? And the people you work with. Right. Yeah. I'll give you an example. Look at this show here. Okay. We kid around all the time, sarcastic comments back and forth to each other. Thing I'd run through a wall for Kevin. Right. This show would never be the same without him. And I'm the first one to tell everybody that how important he is to this. Okay. May have my name on it, but it's a collaborative effort with two really good friends doing the show. And the fact is we both got a thick skin because we can kid back and forth about stuff. I mean, do you think really half the stuff I say to him is serious? Really?
If that were the case, this we would not have talked for decades.
I mean, do you really think that? Like,
I mean, this happened long before we did the show together that we talked this way.
Right? I mean, that it's just okay. Okay. Honestly, when we're doing that stuff, we are kidding around. Okay. Sometimes you have to make it plain to the audience that you're doing it, but it wouldn't be the same without him. There's a sense of loyalty between the two of us working together all the time. There's a sense of loyalty in working for Roger. There's a sense of loyalty working for Drew. There's none when it comes to Sean and Jennifer. We just like her. So it's just,
she's just a nice person.
Yeah. So we just like Jen. Kerry, I don't know. He likes Arsenal. He's kind of, or Man U, I don't really know what he likes. but yeah. Okay. Today, Nikki Javala from the Denver Post will be on the show. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Again, here's how it played out. Jerry Dulac of the Post-Gazette's reporting that Ben's going to give it a go. Antonio Brown, because of concussion protocol, is out. And D'Angelo Williams is out. There's really nobody else on the injury report for the Steelers of any note whatsoever. I mean, everybody's out there practice the whole thing, and everybody for Denver's back. So?
As Beverly D'Angelo said in the movie Vacation, Steve, with every new day, there's fresh hope.
And the fact that Kevin had a quote from the movie Vacation tells you how much trouble they're really in. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This year's New Year's resolution at Sunbury Motors Kia is easy. Yes, in 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Sereno, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. So with a huge selection of quality Kias, all clearly sale priced, backed by one of the best warranties in the business, well, it just doesn't get any easier than this to ring in the new year with a new Kia. So resolve to come down to the Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at Sunbury Motors.com. 2016 is going to be easy at Sunbury Motors Kia. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to Kia.com.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the playoffs this weekend. Four big games in the culminators, the Steeler game against Denver. And it's the one thing, it's a plus, is it's the last game of the week. So, I mean, whatever time it gives Ben Roethlisberger to get ready, he's at least bought as far as he can possibly get out of this thing. Because it's the last game. You also don't know what you got in Peyton Manning. You don't know what Peyton Manning can do. So this is as strange a playoff game going in as I've seen in a long time. You don't know what you have in Peyton Manning. Now, Roethlisberger is a lot. Manning is a far superior tactician at the line of scrimmage pre-snap than Ben Roethlisberger is. And that's not a stretch because Manning is superior to almost everybody pre-snap at the line of scrimmage. He's unbelievable. So that's an advantage he gives Denver. But Roethlisberger pre-snap at the line of scrimmage gives the Steelers an exponentially better chance than Landry Jones does. And that's not, I mean, that's not a stretch. So that's what you got going into this game. Josh Reeves for Penn State basketball out 3 weeks, mononucleosis. They will play at Northwestern tomorrow night. Of course they're playing at Northwestern. Do you realize in the last 90 days, starting from mid-October football, the last 90 days, I've been on the road 31?
Good thing you have all those frequent flyer miles.
What frequent? I'm on charters, at least, and that makes that at least makes it easier. I mean, I've flown commercial a couple times here, but still.
But the hotel points make it all better.
Yeah, right. The Big Ten could not. Last year, the Big Ten gave Penn State an extremely favorable schedule.
And I pointed it out last year. That was an extremely favorable schedule. Weekend games gave them the best chance of selling tickets and so forth. And Penn State had the fifth highest average attendance increase in the country last year. They did a 180 of that this time. Do you realize that Penn State, in the first 10 games of the Big Ten, play three games in the Jordan Center? Really? I mean, you're kidding, right? Well, then they got a whole bunch of home games after that. No, they, you know, I mean, listen to this. They play at Northwestern. Okay. So that's game four of the 10 on the road. Then they come home for one game, Wisconsin. And then they're away three in a row. Now they get you to 10. Well, then they'll start to group up again. No, they come home after the three in a row away for one game. And then go back out on the road. Really? Now let's take Northwestern. And Northwestern has, Chris Collins' team has had a great year to this point. They're 15-3. Now, they've never made the NCAA tournament, so people are loving this. This is great, so on and so forth. Penn State, now the BPI, which is the index used by ESPN. Okay, you know what Penn State's strength of schedule is in the BPI right now? Out of 353 teams? 27th. Northwestern's is 101. And not only that, you want to know what the Big Ten gave Northwestern on the schedule? They're going to play their fifth. They're going to play, what, their sixth game? Okay. Four of the last five games for Northwestern have been at home. Now, for Penn State, it will not all even out this year. So, it'll all even out. No, it will not even out for Penn State. Because of the Madison Square Garden game, they play 10 away from the Jordan Center, and they play 8 in the Jordan Center. So, it's not going to even out this year. But how do you get behind the 8-ball in this conference? You get behind the 8-ball in this conference when you're constantly playing on the road. And I know, my suitcase is sitting up. I came back the other night, right? You know, and I bagged up dirty clothes, whatever, and got rid of them. But left the suitcase up there with everything still in it because I knew tonight I had to take it back out again. Now, I only announced the game, so it's no big deal for me, but it tells you what it's been like on the road. And they'll come back for one home game and then three more back out on the road again in a row. I'm sorry, but that's something that you got to look at the conference off and say, hey, next year you owe us. Somebody's got to say that to them. You owe us. One time in six games you play at home in the conference? One in six? Really? I mean, I know I saw it at the beginning. I took a look at it in the beginning, but you're doing a lot of football at the time and so forth, and you're looking at it saying, okay, because I got the schedule back. I don't know. When do I get the schedule? I usually get it in what May, right?
I was going to say, it's usually before summer.
Yeah, that's when I get it. They don't release it till August, but I get it ahead of time. And so you looked at it and go, okay, all right, so I got to go there, okay. All right. So Penn State threw 16 conference games in their opening 16 conference games. We'll play six in the Jordan Center. Think about that. 16 conference games. They will have only played six in the Jordan Center. Now they'll get the last two here to get themselves up to eight. But of their first 16,
you're playing 10 of the 16 away. Really. You know, there are 14 schools in the Big Ten. It's hard to be fair to all 14, but you got to be fair sometimes.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's a Brewers Outlet Day. Come on, you need to go stock up. Brewers Outlet just flat out gets it done. You name it, they get it done. And not only that, but you look at Brewers Outlet, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Oh, yeah. Water, soft drink, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and out every day. They're right there at the register, my man. Right there. They get it done. And not only that, the pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, and Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Playoffs this weekend. Playoffs.
And they even carry IC and IC Light.
See, they're right up your alley.
You got to have an IC for the game.
You do?
For a Steeler game, you do.
So, if like, somebody doesn't have that for a Steeler game, that's bad?
Well, unless you're a Denver fan, and then you probably are leaning more toward the Coors side of things.
You have to admit, Sam Elliott announcing a Coors commercial, the banquet beer.
I agree. Sam Elliott announcing anything is good.
You got to admit, that's big time stuff. This day in sports history, 1892. James Naismith gave us the rules of basketball. Thus, it is considered the birthday of college basketball in this country, or the sport of basketball in this country.
Happy Basketball Day.
Yes, and in 1967, the first Super Bowl was played. We had Bobby Bell on the show last week who played in that game. They lost to the Packers 35-10. Much closer game than the score would indicate, by the way. I remember I watched the game. I was 9 years old watching the game. And it was, okay, the AFL is going to play. The NFL is going to be the first game, the whole deal. And locked in and watched it. And I remember Lenny Dawson throwing a touchdown pass to Curtis McClinton, who was a fullback for Kansas City. And it made it 14-10. And we're all looking at each other like, what? The AFL scored? What are you talking about? Well, it turned out the AFL's a little bit better than we all thought it was.
And that's going
to really think. You really think back on it, and I'm going to get to what you're, I know what you want to talk about next.
I know, you knew where I was going.
Well, that's tonight, and that's going to be tremendous. Unfortunately, I'm going to miss it, and that's a crusher. But my old friend Bob Meininger played for the San Diego Chargers, and he was on the 1963 Chargers team that beat the Boston Patriots 51-10 for the AFL title. Bob believed, and now in really looking back on it, that they could have beaten the Bears that year. And you know what? I agree with him. I think the 63 Chargers could have beaten the 1963 Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears didn't have enough offense to compete with the San Diego Chargers. Did not. Just flat out didn't. And That's just my opinion. But tonight, this is going to be, what an event tonight. If you love the NFL, Super Bowl I in its entirety with the legendary, who passed away this week, Jim Simpson, announcing it on radio.
I have never seen or heard this game. I've never heard any audio for it, and I've never seen the game. So it'll be really fun to actually see it. I think I've maybe seen a couple of highlights at best.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I watched it. And not only that, but my old friend Ed Russell married Michelle Jones from Green Bay, Wisconsin. And she was, growing up, one of the Packer cheerleaders on the sideline because her family's from Green Bay. Mickey's parents, original stockholders when the Packers went public to get the stadium, right? Mickey's parents were at the first Super Bowl.
Wow.
They went to the first Super Bowl game with Kansas City. Now, her father's since passed, but her mom, I just saw Barbara 3 weeks ago. But, you know, they went to the first Super Bowl. All right. Can the Steelers get to the 50th Super Bowl? We'll get Captain Happy's analysis in a few minutes. Let's bring in Nikki Jabala from the Denver Post, who joined us a couple of weeks ago. Nikki, welcome back. Great to have you with us. I know there's a lot of story about Roethlisberger, but what about Peyton Manning, the other mystery guy in this game?
Well, he's as healthy as he's going to be, probably the healthiest he's been all season, frankly. And he's going to start. Just watching him now, he looks good out there. Brock Osweiler is back at practice for the first time this week. He's been dealing with a knee injury. For now, it's Peyton's team. You know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how long of a leash he has going into this game. But I think Brock's health certainly throws them for a loop this week.
You've been around this now, and you've watched how he orchestrates out there. Just the mental side of it, what kind of advantage does Peyton Manning give Denver?
Oh, he's got 18 seasons. I mean, I think that's everything right there. I mean, you know, the way he runs this offense, the way he controls the practices, you know, his ability to get the ball out quicker, his ability to adapt to reads instantly. I mean, that's no, you know, it's no disrespect to Brock. That's just something that comes with, you know, 18 seasons. And we all know Peyton's a workaholic. So, you know, that's definitely an advantage for him, you know, at any point in his career, and especially now when he really needs the mental side to, you know, kind of compensate for what he can't do physically. So,
how difficult is it for Peyton Manning, Nikki, when he talks to the media? How difficult is it for him to talk about what he can't do at this stage?
I don't think it's too difficult. I mean,
really?
Frankly,
okay.
he just won't do it, frankly.
Okay,
and that's Peyton. He'll answer what he wants to answer, and he won't answer anything that's, you know, too prying. But, you know, I honestly think this injury has been a little sobering for him, especially at this point in his career. And he even said that. It kind of makes you appreciate, you know, the games you do have left. And I don't know what he's going to do after this season. I don't think he'll be a Bronco next season, but he may try to play somewhere. I don't know. But, you know, he's not going to reveal, like any player. No player's going to reveal, you know, what he can't do. That's just, that's fuel for the opponent. So that'd be kind of foolish on his part anyway.
Sure. When Ben Roethlisberger is the only quarterback to throw for over 300 against this Bronco defense this year, but the safeties weren't there. So what's their respective state? It sounds like they're completely healthy on that side.
Yeah, I wouldn't say completely healthy. I'd say they're, you know, healthy enough, as TJ Ward said. But having them back, having Darren Stewart and Ward back, is huge. I mean, that secondary has been, you know, the staple of this defense. And not having them there, it really showed last game. I think they're a little disappointed that Antonio Brown won't be available. They were really hoping to, you know, get him back, so especially Chris Harris. But, yeah, I mean, having a healthy defense, that's definitely key for them. Now if their offense can play all four quarters, you know, that would be great.
Because I noticed what Von Miller was cleared earlier in the week and getting him, and they got him back.
Yeah. Oh, he had an illness. He had an illness from fried cheese.
From fried cheese?
Yeah. Von Miller went to the movies. Von Miller went to go see Star Wars. And he had mozzarella sticks and an icy. It didn't sit so well. As he said, the force struck back. And then he went on to tell us that you can't put regular gas into a Ferrari. So lesson learned for all of us.
Well, Nikki, all of us should remember that. That's words to live by. Let's not put regular gas into a Ferrari as I'm sitting over here in my Ford Escape. All right. Weather-wise, what usually in Denver, it's a little bit different, mm-hmm. obviously, it is than it is in the mountains, without question, but it certainly has its moments, and sometimes it gets warmer. What's it going to be like Sunday?
Right. Cold.
Okay.
Cold. Very cold. I actually haven't checked weather forecasts. I should probably do that before I go on air, right?
you didn't know I was going to ask that. I just thought maybe you walked by a TV at some point, and KUSA said, hey, by the way, Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been interesting here. I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but with the weather in Colorado, it can change in 5 minutes. That's kind of our claim to fame, right?
Right.
So this team has kind of been through it all. You know, the snow game against New England at home. We've had, 50-degree days and winter, and, this week has been actually pretty nice. It always seems warmer than it really is just because of the dryness, but I always think regardless of temperature, the altitude gives the Broncos an advantage. So
it always does. What's the atmosphere around the city about this game?
I think fans may be a little more skeptical than they were at the start of the season, and especially last postseason. I know the Broncos have said they've admitted that they kind of looked past the Colts in the divisional playoff last year. So they're much more focused on this game this time around because they know how quickly the season can end. But the fans, they've kind of, ridden the roller coaster of this season with them. And I don't think anybody could have predicted that things would have panned out with their quarterbacks the way it has. So I think they're a little cautious. They're optimistic, though. And I honestly believe they have, the best road to the Super Bowl, having these two home games, if they can make it past the Steelers. I would say cautious optimism.
That would probably sound right. Wade Phillips, obviously, he runs that defense, has his own way of doing things. He plays probably more man than anybody out there. What do you think, Nikki, he's meant? And what kind of, how much help has it been to Gary Kubiak knowing that that side of the ball is taken care of with Phillips?
Oh, it's been everything. I mean, I think we all believe out here that Wade Phillips was the Broncos' best offseason acquisition. They lost a lot of key players in free agency. What's interesting about Wade is he wasn't even their first option for defensive coordinator. They wanted Vance Joseph. And then the Bengals wouldn't release him from, their contract, so they went with Wade. And this 3-4, it caters to their edge rushers, of which they got not just two, but four great ones. And the way the players react to Wade, I think, has been everything. There's this trust level there. None of them can really describe exactly what it is, but they have this trust with Wade. And I think it helps having, DeMarcus Ware come in and being a staunch advocate for Wade because he played so well under him in Dallas. But this team has really taken the weight. He's their teddy bear, essentially. Yeah. And, there's like this fatherly, this trust, and proven success. So it's been fun to watch, fun to cover.
Well, finally, on your list of, on your checklist for Sunday, what are a couple of the swing things, regardless of who's in the game or not, what are a couple of the swing mm-hmm. things you think need that you're going to be watching for going in?
Well, from the Broncos' perspective, I think two things are key. They got to get that run game going.
Yes.
And I think that will be an emphasis of the offense, especially, with Peyton not at 100%, Brock Osweiler obviously not at 100%. They have to get that run game going. And that, of course, starts with the line, but the Broncos have been successful when their run game is successful. I mean, you look back at their big wins against the Packers, the Patriots, et cetera. So they have to get that going. The other thing is turnovers. The Broncos defense, they have to get those takeaways. It's something DeMarcus Ware has preached all season long. And if you go back and look at all their losses, it's when they win the turnover battle that they're successful. So those are the two things I'm looking for.
Nikki, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much, and you've added a lot to the show again.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Stumbled across this the other day, and Steve touched on it. The Raiders, one of the teams that could or could not be moving, depending on the situation, they were not picked to go to L.A. directly unless the Chargers decide not to. The first thing that Steve had mentioned was maybe San Antonio. Well, there's a new report from John Breach of CBS Sports that the Raiders have secured land near San Antonio for a possible move. Now, I have family in Austin. I've been to Austin. Of course, Steve's been to San Antonio for a bowl game or two. I can tell you, a wonderful area, first and foremost. But there's a spot of land that they reportedly have looked into between San Antonio and Austin. And if I remember right, it's about an hour drive between San Antonio and Austin.
There's nothing there. Nothing.
But it's about an hour drive.
Yeah, but there's a lot of tumbleweed.
Well, that's no doubt. There is a lot of that. But what I was saying was San Antonio and Austin would be a football-starved area that would love to have an NFL team within a half an hour of their cities.
Well, who brought up San Antonio the other day?
Well, and that's what I was just saying. This is something that you talked about the other day, and it now looks like that the Raiders have secured land near San Antonio.
Look, I think that's a... Market-wise, San Antonio is huge. Have you ever been to San Antonio?
Yes.
Yes.
Unbelievably gorgeous city. Now, once you get outside downtown, whatever, because, I mean, I did get outside downtown a little bit. Penn State practiced out of the high school. And you go through some neighborhoods and the whole thing. It's very dry down there.
Lots of armadillos, too.
But it's a state whose population is so big it can easily support three NFL teams.
Well, and Austin and San Antonio are so far from Houston that...
And not only that, but Red McCombs would help with the stadium. And he's got more money than everybody in the Valley combined.
And my guess is in where they were looking, somewhere between Austin and San Antonio. I think San Marcos is right in that vicinity. Now, it's not real big, but I think Texas State is there, isn't it?
Yes, it is. The lease of the Coliseum, by the way, is year to year. So I think wasn't McCombs involved with the Vikings at one point? I think he was. Then he got out. So, but they need something. The Raiders do. I'm talking about the Raiders. They need something. If I were them, I'd play a little loose and easy on this. I want to see how San Diego turns out first, because San Diego could be an option for them if the Chargers were to go to Los Angeles.
Steve, didn't the mayor of San Antonio say maybe the Alamo Dome could be ready for a team by 2016? You've been there. Is that possible?
The Alamo Dome could be ready for a team while they build the other stadium. They can't. The Alamo Dome would only be a temporary place to be. All right.
I remember reading that they're already making some stuff improvements for the Final Four in 18.
They have to. It's a little older building than people realize. Now, broadcasting the game in the Alamo Dome, I love doing a game in that building. That was a great game to do a game in. Great building. But I tell you right now, it's a great football stadium. All the seats are tight. And San Antonio, the downtown, is unbelievable.